From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. ED urge government to ensure safety of COVID-19 vaccine. Indonesia Morocco establish a sister province partnership on smart city innovation. Now the news in details. The Indonesian Medical Association, ED, has lauded the government efforts to secure COVID-19 vaccine supplies and demanded that it ensure the availability of safe and effective vaccine for the planned immunization program. In its letter to the Health Ministry, which Antara accessed on Thursday, ED's Central's Executive Board praised the government for prioritizing the vaccination program for medical workers. However, ED Chairman Daeng M. Fakih, who signed the letter, highlighted the importance of ensuring that the safety, effectiveness, and immunogenicity of the COVID-19 vaccine is established before they are administered to Indonesians. Fakih further revealed how other countries have also exercised cautions when it comes to COVID-19 immunizations by waiting for more published data on the result of phase 3 clinical trials. Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC members must remain alert from potential terror threats in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Chief of the Indonesian National Counterterrorism Agency, BNPT, Commissioner General Boy Rafli Amar said on the sidelines of the 16th APEC Counterterrorism Working Group meeting, which was held online, that it is necessary to strengthen the community preventive efforts through moderate, religious, tolerant, and pluralistic attitudes. APEC Counterterrorism Working Group, it is a forum aimed at stepping up cooperation among APEC economies to ensure economy, trade, and investment remain free from the threat of terrorism or the abuse of terror groups. In celebrating Indonesia's and Morocco's 60th anniversary of diplomatic relation, the Foreign Affairs Ministry and the Moroccan Embassy in Indonesia held a webinar on smart city projects and digital partnerships in COVID-19 era on Thursday. The video conference webinar was attended, among others, by Bagus HK, Director for Middle East Affairs of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Indonesia's Ambassador to the Kingdom of Morocco, Hasrul Azwar, Morocco's Ambassador to the Republic of Indonesia, Guadia Ben Abdella, and West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil. Bagus HK, Director for the Middle East Affairs of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, said in his opening remarks, "This event is an important momentum, also evidence of the strong relationship between Indonesia and Morocco to strengthen ties and cooperation in a very dynamic world situation, including during the pandemic of COVID-19. Meanwhile, Ambassador of Morocco Guadia Ben Abdella said that the webinar is strengthening the relation between two great and brotherly nations, which is far in location but close by heart. The webinar focuses on economic, IT, and social issues that are concerned for modern cities today. It also emphasizes the city's sisterhood between West Java and Sumatra. West Java has been innovating in smart city projects and gained international attention." West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil said that his party will exchange knowledge with Morocco's Sumatra. The Colombian National Police presented the Mayor Wilson Quintero Martinez Award to the Indonesian Ambassador to Colombia, Priyo Iswanto, to acknowledge his services and contribution to the bilateral cooperation between both nations in combating drugs. Chief of the Anti-Narcotics Departments of the Colombian National Police, Major General Jorge Luis Ramirez, bestowed the award upon Ambassador Iswanto in recognition of his contribution to the cooperation between the departments and Indonesian national narcotic agencies in the fight against drugs abuse, the Indonesian embassy in Bogota noted in a written statement released on Thursday. The Colombian Anti-Narcotics Departments and the Indonesian National Narcotic Agency had forged cooperation since 2016 to combat the production, processing, and circulation of drugs. They continue to intensify cooperation through multilateral and bilateral forums. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. U.S. voters have cast more than 47 million votes for the November 3rd presidential election, eclipsing total early voting from the 2016 election with 12 days to go, according to data compiled by the U.S. Elections Project. Some 47.5 million Americans have turned in ballot, roughly 8 times the number of early votes cast at about the same point before the 2016 presidential contest, and above the 47.2 million early votes that were cast before Election Day in 2016. The surge comes after many states have expanded mail-in voting in in-person early voting as a safe way to vote during the coronavirus pandemic and amid voters' eagerness to weigh in on the political future of the Republican President Donald Trump, who is facing a stiff challenge from Democrat Joe Biden. Biden leads Trump in national opinion polls, although surveys in crucial battleground states indicate a tighter race. Thailand revoked an emergency decree on Thursday aimed at attending months of protests against Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha's government and the monarchy after it inflamed anger and brought tens of thousands of people onto Bangkok Street. In one of the biggest shows of support by royalists since demonstration began in July, hundreds of people gathered wearing yellow shirts to color of King Maha Phajalongkorn at a government office on the outskirts of the city. Emergency measures imposed a week ago included bans on political gatherings of 5 or more people and publishing news that could affect security. Lebanese veteran politician Saad al-Hariri was named prime minister for a 4th time on Thursday and pledged to form a new government to tackle the country's worst crisis since its 1975 to 1990 civil war. After his nomination, Hariri said he would quickly form a cabinet of specialists to bring in economic and financial reforms set out in French plan to get foreign aid. But he faces major challenges to navigate Lebanon's sectarian politics to agree a cabinet, which must then fix a mounting list of woes, a banking crisis, currency crash, rising poverty and state debts. A new government will also have to contend with the COVID-19 surge and the fallout of the August explosion at Beirut port that killed nearly 200 people and caused billions of dollars of damage. At 50, Hariri has already served 3 terms as premier, a post reserved for a Sunni in Lebanon's power-sharing system. He quit almost exactly a year ago as the crisis erupted and protests gripped the country, furious at the ruling elite for decades of statecraft and waste. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhou, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. 我的口罩保护你，你的口罩
bao phủ họ.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling the visit of U.S. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo to Asia and South China Sea issues. U.S. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo will conduct a series of working visits to several Asian countries from October 25th to 30th. Some of the countries to be visited are India and Indonesia, as well as several other countries. In Jakarta, U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo will deliver a public remark and meets his Indonesian counterpart Retno Marsudi to emphasize the visions of the two countries about a free and open Indo-Pacific. Pompeo's visit was carried out after Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto visited the United States last week to discuss defense cooperation with U.S. Defense Secretary Mark T. Esper. Prior to Indonesia, U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo and Defense Minister Esper are going to New Delhi, India, to lead the third annual U.S.-India ministerial-level dialogue. It also aims to advance the U.S.-India Comprehensive Global Strategic Partnership and expand cooperation to promote stability and prosperity in the Indo-Pacific and the world. Interestingly, many observers suspect that Pompeo's visit to Jakarta will carry a special mission, namely the empowerment of the Indonesian-American strategic partnership related to the conflict in the South China Sea. This has something to do with the U.S. concern regarding the close relationship between Indonesia and China. Moreover, recently China has been very aggressive in the South China Sea. With its economic strength and the discovery of the COVID-19 vaccine, China is said to have expanded its influence in regional countries. Relations between the two superpowers, the United States and China, have indeed heated up again regarding the South China Sea, which is believed to have abundant natural resources. In mid-July, the United States rejected China's disputed claims for offshore resources in large parts of the South China Sea. China is seen as providing no coherent legal basis for its ambition in the South China Sea. The United States has long challenged China's vast territorial claims in the South China Sea by sending warships regularly through the strategic sea route. This action is intended to demonstrate freedom of navigation in the area. It also hints that Beijing's claims to offshore resources in large parts of the South China Sea are completely illegal. So far, Indonesia has not made any claims in the South China Sea and emphasized that it only respects international maritime law. Since a long time ago, Indonesia has submitted various legal bases to the United Nations regarding the boundaries of Indonesia's maritime sovereignty, and China has not filed any protest at all. The most important thing to show is that Indonesia's attitude towards the right to an exclusive economic zone in the region bordering the South China Sea can be demonstrated clearly and consistently. That was commentary. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We start from a history on October 23, 1991, when the signing of Paris Peace Agreement happens. The Paris Peace Agreement, also known as the Comprehensive Cambodian Peace Agreement, was signed on October 23, 1991, and officially ended the Cambodia-Vietnam War. The deal led to the deployment of the first post-Cold War peacekeeping mission, UNTAC, and the first opportunity that the UN took over as government of a country. The agreement was signed by 19 countries. That's moving on to a history on October 23, 2011, when this Libyan civil war ended. The Libyan civil war was preceded by demonstration in Benghazi on February 15, 2011 to demand the resignation of the Libyan leader Muammar al-Gaddafi, who had long been in power as a result of the government's repressive actions in dealing with protesters. This action escalated into a rebellion and civil war. In August 2011, the Libyan capital, Tripoli, finally fell to rebel forces. Finally, on October 20, 2011, Gaddafi was killed in battle, and his 42-year regime fell with him. Libya was declared free by the National Transitional Council, NTC, on October 23, 2011. However, the problem did not stop immediately with the fall of the Gaddafi regime. We entered in history on October 23, 2011, when earthquake in Van City, Turkey happens. On October 23, 2011, an earthquake occurred in the cities of Erbis and Van, which are located on the eastern tip of Turkey, border with Iran. This earthquake was about 6.0 on the Richter scale. The epicenter occurred at a shallow depth of 20 kilometers, causing heavy damage in eastern Turkey. About 1,000 people are estimated to have died from the earthquake. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kosmawati. Thank you for listening.
Pesan singkatku untukmu. Tanda peluk dan ciumku. Apa kabar? Semoga kau baik saja dan menjaga cinta terpisah sementara. Maafkan aku jika terlalu lama kau menungguku pulang. Tapi ku pastikan saat ku kembali hatiku tetap untukmu. Dan bila kau menduakanku, apalagi di belakang. Jangan salahkan bila di sini ku nakal dengan yang lain. Ku harap kau juga mengerti, cinta itu butuh percaya. Sampai di sini, I just wanna say I love you. I love you.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling the government invites German entrepreneurs to increase investment in Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, invited German businessmen to increase investment in Indonesia. Minister Erlangga conveyed the invitation in the Asia-Pacific Conference of German Business online on Monday. The Asia-Pacific Conference of German Business, APK, is a biennial meeting for German companies and industry players operating in the Asia-Pacific region. Speaking at the session theme, Asia-Pacific as a motor for the world economy, Coordinating Minister Erlangga revealed that Indonesia's latest economic indicators have shown signs of recoveries. Among others, the Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, which fell to 28 points around March 2020, rose to 51 points in August 2020. On that occasion, Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto expressed his appreciation for the bilateral economic relation between Indonesia and Germany, which according to him, remains on the right growth trajectory. Despite the COVID-19 pandemic, Indonesia and Germany managed to record a trade value of $3.6 billion in January to August. Indonesia also recorded German investment of more than $1 billion in the 2015 to 2020 period. Until now, about 250 German companies are still operating in Indonesia. As part of Indonesia's economic transformation process, Indonesia recently passed a job creation law to increase the ease of doing business in Indonesia, thereby boosting job opportunities and economic growth. Once enacted, the law will simplify, synchronize, and streamline regulation that often hinder foreign business activities in Indonesia. Coordinating Minister Erlangga believed that this was the right time for the two countries to take advantage of this momentum. The Asia-Pacific Conference of German Business is organized by the Asia-Pacific Committees of German Business, and it was the first time using a digital platform. The meeting was attended by German Chancellor Angela Merkel, German Minister of Economy and Energy Peter Altmaier, senior officials from Australia, Japan, and the European Union Commission, as well as German business leaders operating in the Asia-Pacific region. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I am Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Jalan bersama, lelah hatiku bila kau anggap aku hanya kawan saja. Rasakan yang sama, kepadaku. Izinkan diriku menuliskan cantik namamu, mengisi ruang di hatiku. Pegang janjiku, kan ku jaga selalu utuh indah manis cinta kita, hingga habis sudah muka dunia. Genggam tanganku jadi indah cerita. Cantik namamu mengisi ruang di hatiku. Pegang janjiku, kan ku jaga selalu. Indah manis cinta kita hingga habis sudah seputar dunia.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today's edition, I would like to introduce Magowo Libu Watu Ritual. Listener, Merapu community in Welibo Village, Lamboya Subdistrict, West Sumba Regency, Sumba Island, East Nusa Tenggara, have a unique tradition held in October. Every year, they hold the Magowo Libu Watu ritual. In the local language, Magowo means mash fishings, while Libu Watu is the Welibo watershed or das Welibo village. Thus, actually, this ritual is a mass fishing activity done by residents in Libu Watu. Mass fishing or Magowo in Libu Watu only takes place once in a year in October. First full moon in October is the beginning of holy month in Marapu culture in Lamboya. The Ratu or traditional leaders determine the timing of Magowo. It also involves residents who are from a combination of the 8 major tribes in Lamboya district. Those are Anamalangta, Ubuteda, Marapati, Kaba, Ubumaleha, Weloa, Kadengara, and Wehola tribes. After the appointed time comes to start the ritual, three men throw slices of coconut meat, formed like dice, into the river. The coconut meat is a food for fish in the traditional beliefs of Marapu people in Lamboya sub-district. After that, three men sequentially cast their nets into the water. This is the rite for the opening of mass fishing ceremony in Libu Watu. Meanwhile, hundreds of other residents are getting lined up. Most of the residents are on standby while holding traditional fishing gear. The man carrying nets while the woman carrying auta. Auta is a mesh that has a round handle which is made of rattan and wood. For residents who do not have fishing equipment, they can catch fish by means of hajami or groping. Uniquely, almost everyone gets fish even though it is done simultaneously in the same place. Every resident who catches big fish is paraded towards the edge of the pond. The fish caught are stored in a special place called kaleku. Each resident will go home when the catch is sufficient based on the Marap customary provision. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonders for today's edition entitled Ritual of Magowo Libuwatu. I'm Nuku Kusmawati. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Mm-hmm.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we are going to inform you about Prambanan Jazz Festival 2020. Stay tuned. Indonesia has many international music festivals, one of which is the Prambanan Jazz Festival. The COVID-19 pandemic has not stopped the activities that jazz lovers in the world are waiting for being held in a different version, namely virtually. The Prambanan Jazz Virtual Festival 2020 will be held for 2 days, namely on 31st October and 1st November 2020. However, the Prambanan Jazz Virtual Festival 2020 is still held directly from Prambanan Temple. Even though previously it was attended by live audience, this year's Prambanan Jazz Festival continues to follow the health protocols as recommended by the Indonesian government. The organizer provides a rapid test for the crew and all artists who will attend the concert. Initially, the Prambanan Jazz Virtual Festival 2020 invited international musicians. Even so, the festival also presents Indonesian musicians. On the first day, Tulus, 420, Isyana Saraswati, Joko in Berlin, Pusakata, and Tompi will be present. New hopes and new experiences are the tagline pinned at this year's Prambanan Jazz Festival. At the Prambanan Jazz Virtual Festival 2020, for the first time, it collaborates with musicians from Yogyakarta who are members of the Everyday Band to arrange and compose the lyrics of the song Ke Prambanan Jazz Lagi. It is an effort to continue to promote Yogyakarta and hope to be able to see Prambanan Jazz live again in the future. That was Miss Lenny for today, featuring Prambanan Jazz Festival 2020. Thanks for listening.
Tanganku ini tak mampu berhenti menuliskan namamu untuk sekian kali di jam sudah, waktu berlalu. Masih saja ku tersenyum karenamu. Aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu. Malam pun tahu aku padamu, bintang pun mengerti. Malam pun tahu aku padamu, bintang pun mengerti. Begitu mengganggu kau di kepalaku, menari-nari dalam alunan emosi. Semakin ku percaya akan hadirmu di sini, bagai rima dalam puisi terindah.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from North Sumatra entitled Tubu Nimarga, to be sung by Ivan KDI and Ovi Fristi. The song Tubu Nimarga was sung and popularized by a famous singer in Mandailing, Mariati Lubis, for the first time. The song tells about families' names in the South Tapanuli region and also the origin of the clan and the general characteristics of a person's surname. The lyrics of the song was composed by Ali Asnun Siregar. To attract Indonesia's young generations, the song is rearranged and accompanied with ethnic electric pop music. Well, listeners, here, Ivan KDI and Ovi Fristi with a song entitled Tubu Ni Marga. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Mungkinkah
listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.